This episode of Road Dirt, the podcast, is brought to you by Northeast Georgia Motorsports, carrying Kawasaki, Can-Am, Suzuki, and now CF Moto. Northeast Georgia Motorsports is your go-to dealer for all things two wheels and four. You can find them at ngmrides.com. Welcome to Road Dirt, the podcast of Road Dirt Motorcycle Media and RoadDirt.tv, your down-home grassroots motorcycle brand covering what we like to call ride life. This is Rob Brooks, your host. Thanks for tuning in. And what I'd like to share with you is a story of a road trip I took with a lifelong friend of mine, or nearly lifelong friend, both of us turning 60 recently. So what did we do? We took a motorcycle road trip together. And I thought I'd share it with you. This is called The Journey of 1,000 Miles. On a long undulating stretch of Highway 25E in Middle Tennessee, Lyle and I are headed north, making for Kentucky by nightfall. Finding ourselves behind a big semi for several miles with no clear place to pass, I settle in on a 2024 Yamaha Tracer 9 GT Plus motorcycle, trailing Lyle in lead. The scenery is spectacular. Appalachian mountain ridges on either side of the valley we're riding through, with farms and cattle ranches covering the valley floor as the state highway follows a gently meandering river. I'm listening to the Road Dirt Classics playlist on Spotify, actually, enjoying the relaxed pace with old 70s and 80s rock playing in my helmet over the Cardo speakers. It's a beautiful day, and life is good. Suddenly, Lyle lurches left with his big BMW GS1200, and he hurtles past the tractor-trailer rig, no signal or warning. I snap out of my flow state. Already in sixth gear, I signal left and throttle hard to make the pass as well. Even from about 65 miles an hour, the Tracer nearly lifts the front, the 900cc triple roaring forward to skirt around the long rig. Looking down the long valley road ahead, I can see an oncoming truck way off in the distance, but in a flash, I'm past the semi and chasing down Lyle way out in front himself. I glance at the speedo and I'm doing somewhere in the triple digits as I merge back right. Geez, what a beast, I think in my helmet. As I rapidly close with my old friend, we both slow down to a somewhat more reasonable 80 miles an hour and resume our quest for Kentucky. Lyle and I are on a multi-day, multi-state road trip, commemorating, both turning 60 years old. We try to make a big road trip together with every new decade that we reach. We did it when we both turned 40, then a huge one when we both hit the big happy half century. And now here we are rolling into our 60s, out rocking down the highway again. We've both been riding motorcycles since we were kids, and we've made quite a few day trips, weekend hops, and then these milestone rides over the years. As I've written before, Lyle and I go way back together. In fact, Lyle and I first met in seventh grade in Miss Zachary's homeroom in Fayette County Junior High School, 1976. Don't do the math. Lyle's family had recently moved up from South Georgia, and he really knew no one at the school yet. I had numerous friends from elementary school there and was definitely not a shy lad. So at the beginning of the school year, on the day we were to pair up with locker partners, Miss Zachary approached me in homeroom and asked, "Mr. Brooks, see that young man sitting back in the corner? His name is Lyle, and he's new to the school this year. I'd like you to go introduce yourself and invite him to be your locker partner." Well, I obliged, though rather reluctantly at first. Two awkward 12-year-olds became homeroom locker partners, then fast friends. Through junior high, then high school, beyond college, for each other's marriages, the birth of each other's children, across the decades and the miles, Lyle has been and continues to be the best friend I've ever had. My nearly lifelong chum, and of course, my moto riding brother. Thanks so much, Miss Zachary. Well, for this road trip, we would both attempt to take in as many states as we could that we had never ridden in before, namely Kentucky and West Virginia on our short hop. Our initial goal was 7 states. We were going to try to hit Georgia, then of course, then Tennessee, into Kentucky, over into West Virginia, down through a corner of Virginia, home through North and South Carolina. But looking at our available timetable, only 4 days, we quickly realized our plans were a bit ambitious. We chose to give up South Carolina since we'd both ridden there numerous times before. And in the end, we realized West Virginia would have to wait till another time as well. So we planned our routes, avoiding interstates as much as possible, endeavoring to wander through the remaining states, traversing state and county roads in each one. That decision would make this ride one of the most beautiful and one of the most memorable trips we've taken in years, maybe decades. Lyle actually rode up the night before as we were scheduled to leave, staying the night with us so he and I could roll out early in the next morning. Yamaha Motors USA had loaned me a brand new, really only 33 miles on it, a brand new 2024 Tracer 9 GT Plus sport touring motorcycle, which Ted had the chance to sample for us back in August at the press launch in Boise, Idaho. I was thrilled for the opportunity to ride this bike that wasn't even available in dealerships yet across the United States and log some serious road trip miles on it. Yamaha had it set up for my height and my weight, adjusting the handlebars, the foot control, suspension, and seat height for my 5'8", 155-pound specs. I was afraid I'd be kind of up on my toes like I had been on the Tenere 700 they gave us last year, but I was pleasantly surprised to find that I could nearly flat foot on the Tracer 900. That was confidence-inspiring as I made preparations all week for the ride. This bike is a sport tour, remind you. Not an adventure bike. Lyle had recently picked up a one-owner 2018 BMW GS1200 in pristine condition, and he kitted it out with hard cases for the trip. So we were ready to pound some pavement for 4 days and touch our tires in 5 states. So we lit out after breakfast, throttled hard up through North Georgia, stopping at the famous Dillard House. You ought to try that. For a hearty southern lunch before we crossed into North Carolina. Man, the Dillard House, this is just a quick aside, the Dillard House is the most amazing southern cooking you'll pretty much find anywhere. If you're whenever in North Georgia, Google it, look it up, Bing it, and find the Dillard House. It's incredible. So anyway, with abundant sunshine, cool breezes, and high temps in the mid-70s, it really couldn't get any better than this for a motorcycle road trip in October. I tell you, I love motorcycling in the Smoky Mountains. I've ridden the majestic Northern Cascades with Ted before, rolled through the beautiful Badlands of New Mexico and the high plains of Panhandle, Texas with my friend Mike. I've traversed the entire length of the otherworldly Baja Peninsula with Lyle and another friend named Jimmy that we grew up with. Maybe I'm biased, but there's something really special about riding the ancient hills of the Appalachians. John Denver once sang, "Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, flowing like a breeze." These rolling mountains have a mythical hold over me, almost spiritual. Riding through the Blue Ridge Ranges bring a peace to my heart, a centered calm, a deep breath, as it were, in my soul. So Lyle and I ride up through Franklin and Sylvia, North Carolina, and I'm getting used to the fit and feel of the Tracer beneath me. North of Waynesville, on a stretch of I-40 that we decided to slab for a bit, I begin to experiment with this thing that they call adaptive cruise control that Ted was so knocked out by at the Yamaha demo in Boise. So giving up the lead to Lyle, I close in behind him among the surprisingly sparse mid-afternoon traffic on I-40. I activate the system with the left grip switch, set the following distance to 3 car lengths. You can set it up to 4 from 1 to 4. And at 75 miles an hour, engaging it, I turn loose of the throttle. With the proprietary Yamaha radar unit up in the nose of the bike, the Tracer paces Lyle's Beamer perfectly, adjusting speed and overall suspension geometry, whether he slows or accelerates. At one point, we come upon a moving van in our lane, straining a bit to make the grade up a mountain pass. Lyle is briefly forced to slow to about 55, yet the Tracer keeps in sync with him, in speed and following distance. When the van is able to move aside and Lyle throttles back up, the Tracer surges forward, keeping pace and distance with no inputs from my right wrist. It's quite remarkable. This adaptive cruise control that Yamaha has developed is rather outstanding. While riding NC63 for a while, the GPS leads us down a highway called NC209, and as we turn right onto this new road, we see a large sign, quote, "Ride the Rattler, 290 curves, 24 miles, end quote. I'm surprised and excited. I've heard of this fabled section just south of Hot Springs, North Carolina, but I've never ridden on it before. It's actually 36 total miles from the Highway 63/209 junction up until you get into Hot Springs, with several straights and wide sweepers to give riders a break. Much of this road that winds through the Spring Creek Valley is thrilling curves and tight hairpins in places. At more than three times the length of the Tail of the Dragon, it's one of those, like Ted would put it, is quote-unquote better than the tail rides. Lyle and I dive and flow deep into corners and throttle hard out with confidence as the byway is sparsely populated and traveled as well. We pick up State 70 and 25 in Hot Springs and point west over into Tennessee, following the famous French Broad River for miles and miles, winding through the mountains and the valleys with wide sweepers and occasional climbs and descents in elevation into the town of Newport. After a Cracker Barrel stop for a late lunch, we throttle on deeper into East Tennessee, and the tight mountains settle into long ridgelines until we cross beautiful Cherokee Lake. By this time, we're rolling northwest on State 25E and Tennessee 32 above White Pine. The day has just been absolutely gorgeous, with bright sunshine, few clouds, pleasantly cooler temps the further north we ride, and Lyle and I ride in a rhythm, pacing and chasing each other across northeastern Tennessee. We've logged thousands of miles together over many years, and we know each other's riding styles and habits pretty much like we know our own. I guess that makes sense since we've been fairly inseparable friends for decades. We did everything together in the days of our youth. I was always the more outgoing and loud of the two, frankly, while Lyle was a bit more reserved and quiet. He often followed my ideas and my lead into things, often to end up doing them better than me, actually. I can remember in junior high, I suggested we both go out for the track team. And of course, he turns out to be a faster runner than me. Up in high school, I thought we both should try out for the wrestling squad, and he wound up becoming a much more skilled wrestler than me. I was never really jealous of Lyle. I don't know, maybe on occasion. Just excited to see him succeed and get to cheer him on in competition, which he would me as well. Got some pictures of us on the main site from back in the day when we were younger too. So anyway, our GPS is set to quote-unquote avoid highways, which is making for some fantastic riding on state and county roads. It's about 6 p.m. by the time we approach the Kentucky state line and we pass through the 25E mountain tunnel into Middlesboro, Kentucky for our first night stay at a really nice Holiday Inn Express in town, which we would highly recommend. We check in, whereupon the front desk attendant blows a short bar for us on his harmonica as a welcome. A quick bite at a local dive down the street, again with southern drawled hospitality at that place, and we're already loving the state of Kentucky. We later lounge in their barely heated pool for a spell, indoor pool, recounting and laughing about our youthful misadventures as teens in the then rural Fayetteville, Georgia. I actually recall the time in eighth grade that Lyle was being bullied by three punks during the lunch recess behind the cafeteria. Looking through the cafeteria doors to the ball field out back, I remember seeing one of them sling Lyle to the ground, ripping off an entire sleeve of his brand new white sweater in the process. I remember rushing through those doors out to my friend, who was back up and red with rage, ready to rip into the trio by himself. Quickly, I was there right beside him, ready to fight as well. Two against three. Immediately, the bullies backed down, unprepared for a now much more complex and uncertain confrontation. It's the way bullies are. We were both somewhat small in stature. We really still are. But we gained the reputation of, quote, if you mess with one, you'll get the other one as well. And that was helpful for a few years. The next day, our plan is to roll north into Stanton, then Slade, Kentucky, within the Red River Gorge region, to ride the scenic byway and the roads in the mountains up there. Before we pull out, a couple and their son on a pair of BMW GS1250 bikes pull up next to us for a chat and quip, y'all should take some time to go ride up the Cumberland Gap National Historic Park and the Cumberland Gap Scenic Byway. It's just down on the edge of town right before the tunnel. The ride to the top is twisty and curvy, and the scenic overlook at the top borders on three states. Lyle and I look at each other. Dude, we got to go do that. We find the park entrance on the other end of town, set some cameras on each other's bikes, a couple of GoPros, then we start up the mountain. Ascending, the curves become hairpins, then switchbacks, forcing a much more measured pace to the top. At the summit, we park the bikes and hike a short trail to a couple of really cool overlooks with views deep into the mountains and valleys of Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia. In fact, we'd actually crossed a portion of Virginia to reach the summit, so hey, we check off another state on the trip. Highway 25E continues on north, wandering back and forth across I-75, but keeping clear of the busy interstate. We roll on north, our goal being to make a town called Berea by lunchtime. After another Cracker Barrel stop, thanks to our friend Jimmy for the Cracker Barrel gift card before we left, we turn back north, then east onto State Highway 52 to Irvine, Kentucky, taking State 89 north through breathtakingly beautiful mountains up to a highway called Highway 9000, otherwise known as the Mountain Parkway in Kentucky. This four-lane state byway weaves its magic through the East Kentucky mountains for about 76 miles, glorious vistas and views in every direction. We end up jumping off at the Slade exit for our second night stay at the Black Bear Lodge Motel, a local favorite up here for hikers and rock climbers who frequent the Red River Gorge region. It was interesting. Check-in at the Black Bear was actually up the street about a quarter mile at the Daniel Boone Coffee Shop, a fine Java joint and a breakfast and lunch nook. The lodge, when you're down there, has actually no Wi-Fi and cell signal is spotty at best in the whole gorge region. But the 10-room log cabin-styled motel is equipped with cable, so my sports fanatic friend, of course, is able to watch college football late into the night while I've rolled over and zonked out. Before that, though, we found a Tex-Mex restaurant, about another quarter mile down from the lodge. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the restaurant. Anyway, so Lyle and I hoof it down for a feast later in the evening than either of us are usually accustomed to eating. But as Lyle quipped earlier at the Cracker Barrel, Lyle's full of quotables. Here's another one of his. Quote, when on vacation, if you ain't doing it all wrong, you ain't doing it right. I've not forgotten that. So we meet a couple of young Harley riders who came down from Ohio, and they tell us of another aside we need to make. One of them tells us, just a few miles back, up by the parkway, you guys should go ride the NADA tunnel, N-A-D-A. It's a single lane, narrow slit through a mountain about 900 feet long, but it's really cool to ride through. Then you can continue on to merge with the Red River Gorge byway after that. Definitely worth the ride. Well, another interesting aside. So we take their advice, and the NADA tunnel does not disappoint. Actually got a photo of it riding through it on the site, as well as some footage in the video. It's wet, dark, claustrophobically narrow, but so fascinating to ride through. Lyle and I actually make several passes back and forth through it before continuing on to ride some of the tight curves and elevation changes of the Red River Gorge Road. We found that making margin for these suggestions people offer to us often makes for great experiences and lasting memories. Isn't that always the way it is? Our lodging for day three is all the way back in Athens, Tennessee. So we hot-footed back west across the Mountain Parkway to Richmond, Kentucky, and then we run south on State 25 toward Corbin. GPS must read my mind, because each off-interstate byway it takes us on is spectacular in gorgeous views, smooth, sparsely populated roads, and clear blue skies of autumn here in the Deep South. So passing through the town of Corbin, Kentucky, our route runs us right by a very pleasant surprise: the original location of the very first Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant. I'm shouting in my headset, "Lyle, the original KFC, we gotta stop in," which we did. We whip around, pull back in, giddy, at least I was, like a couple of schoolboys. Snapping a bunch of photos in and around the restaurant, which also doubles as a museum, we gorge ourselves on genuine KFC deep fried before saddling back up and rolling further south. I tell you, if you're in that part of Kentucky, in Corbin, you need to stop in and see this. If you're a fan of KFC and you grew up in the South, really anywhere, if you're a fan of KFC, you need to check this. You need to check it out in Corbin, Kentucky. A great restaurant, awesome museum to the Colonel. Anyway, not long after leaving town, me riding lead, I noticed a dark cloud up ahead and slightly west of us, growing darker and closer as we ride. Route 26 and 25 west hugs the mountains and appears to be skirting us around the storm, but our hopes of dry riding are dashed outside of Wofford, where suddenly the rains catch us and nearly soak us before we can find a church portico to go pull under. We don our rain gear and set back out, and as Murphy wrote somewhere in his book of laws, within a few miles and minutes, we've ridden back out of the rain. And we're looking for a place to doff the gear before we sweat to soaked underneath. Isn't that always the way it is? For part of the afternoon, Lyle and I swap rides for a spell. We're about the same size, have similar riding styles and similar years of experience, and I wanted to get his impressions of the big Yamaha. His Beamer actually has a lower seat height than the Tracer does, and with his wide and relatively high handlebars, I feel like I'm sitting down inside the big GS. I can fully flat foot on it, of course, which is, I certainly like that. After a couple hours and a full tank of gas in each one, at a station break, we discussed the Tracer's characteristics, to which Lyle observes, quote, "That adaptive cruise control is just amazing. I've never even driven a car or a truck with that yet. So easy to set up. When I activated it, I was blown away by how it tracked the vehicles out in front of us. Like when you were leading, I latched it onto the back of the BMW and it just took over. Whether either of us pulled aside, it would accelerate up to the cruising speed until it grabbed you again or the car in front. Then it would match speed again. That's the craziest thing I've ever experienced on a bike," end quote. Yeah, it was for me too. We pick up Kentucky 92 outside Williamsburg, bearing southwest toward the Tennessee border. The mountains have gradually given way to long ridgelines by this time, then the gently rolling hills of the Cumberland Plateau. I'm riding almost in a trance, a flow state, so to speak, of total relaxation, yet complete control and awareness. The big Yamaha triple pounding out a throaty growl beneath me as I ride, I sing and pray, giving thanks for all the nature, all the natural glory we've been riding through on this trip. In the town of Pine Knob, we hop on Highway 27 and roll south for the Tennessee state line. Riding along behind Lyle for a time, I recall another fun memory with my friend, this one many years after our days of youth. We were both in the same church in a town called Clarkston, Georgia, early 1990s. I was the youth pastor over middle school and high school. Lyle was one of the church deacons. Yet he often helped me at the events we did with the church teenagers. And we, along with several other adults, had brought about 50 high schoolers on a ski retreat up into the North Carolina mountains. After a day on the slopes at a resort called Hawk's Nest, some of you might be familiar with that, we were trying to corral the teens and get them in their bunks back at the retreat center we stayed at in Boone, North Carolina. Bunking among the boys, Lyle and I were patient with the boys while they bantered for a bit after lights out. One of them, a kid named Pete, just would not chill out. And after about an hour of his periodic antics, passing gas, all kinds of crazy stuff like that, Lyle jumped up, clenching his pillow, looking like he was ready to smother Pete with it. Loudly and delivering a message like a verbal machine gun, Lyle exclaimed, "Boy, I'm about to open up a can of whoop-em on you." We all laughed hysterically, as the rapid delivery was as funny as his words. Well, Pete didn't get the can opened up on him, didn't get smothered under a feather pillow, so we and the boys soon all fell off into a deep, restful sleep. Finally. I've never forgot that. So funny. Back in Tennessee, we continue south along 27, a long, lazy ride through peaceful farm and cattle lands for miles upon miles. The western edge of the Appalachians are to our left as we head south, and the gently rolling lands of the plateau are off to our right. Passing through small country towns like Oneida, Sunbright, Wartburg, and into Kingston, we ride along and across the picturesque Watts Bar Lake, picking up 58 south of town there, State 58. We're once again running along the long ridgelines of the mountains to our east, and the road is ours. On several occasions, we come upon small groups of fellow motorcycle riders, usually on Harleys, and fall in with them to ride for a while. At stop signs or lights, they're always warm and friendly, briefly chatting about each other's bikes or destinations before throttling on. I tell you, I love the motorcycling community. We finally pull into Athens, Tennessee, and passing through town to our hotel, I'm looking for the local schools to see if there's any of them that use a bulldog as a mascot. You Georgia fans will appreciate that. We arrive at our Holiday Inn Express again, because I love Holiday Inn Expresses. Always an affordable welcome stay. We unpack, then stumble over to a Chili's across the street barely an hour before they close. They welcome us in, serve us a hearty dinner, and we reminisce about the day's ride, the people we've met on this trip, and the surprise excursions we've discovered along the way. Everywhere we've traveled, the locals have been so kind and helpful to us. From that kid Nathan blowing his harmonica for us in Middlesboro, to a gal named Val, who works at the Big Bear, offering us her umbrella so we could walk up the street to the Tex-Mex restaurant during a short evening drizzle. And Pam at the hotel, who shares with us why she loves her hometown here so much. I marvel at the beautiful, warm people up here in the rolling southern countryside. Our last riding day comes the following morning, which was a Monday, as we pack up and roll south to Etowah on Highway 411, riding again along the outer edge of the Appalachians. The road is straightened out with only elevation changes and slowly flowing sweepers mile again after mile. Finally, we're back in Georgia. We continue south through Chatsworth over to a town called Talking Rock and around Jasper into a town called Ballground for a late lunch where we decided to part company. Again, a local points us to a fave dive down the street called the Burger Bus. It's literally an old transit bus from like the 1950s that's been refitted as an outdoor seating cab for the restaurant. The atmosphere is nostalgic. The burgers and fries were absolutely outstanding, and a heaping plate of sweet potato tots. Oh my gosh, so worth its weight in gold. Highly recommended. We sit and talk until it becomes clear we need to get back underway to afford Lyle adequate time to dodge rush hour traffic around crazy Atlanta, since he lives on the south side, while I'll swing southeast over to my home closer to Athens, the UGA one. Well, you know, it's hard to say goodbye to a lifelong dear friend that you only get to see and spend time with a few times each year, especially after sharing an epic road trip together. So we record a final farewell for our accompanying video, which is also linked on our main site there. You can see that, as well as read the story. We embrace, we fist pump, then off Lyle rides to his home and his beloved wife, Mandy Fabs, as he calls her, as I roll southeast, ducking around the congestion of North Atlanta. I ride and reflect on the images and experiences of this amazing, albeit short, road trip, the nearly 50 years of friendship with Lyle, and this incredible Yamaha Tracer 9 GT Plus I've been so generously gifted for this journey of quite literally 1,000 miles. I've come to enjoy the bike so much, I deviate in the last few miles it takes to by before I get home to take in one last set of curvy roads near where we live, just to throttle and carve through them one more time. That's how much I've come to enjoy riding this motorcycle. The journey of 1,000 miles began with the very first step to our bikes, of course, and ended almost exactly 1,000 miles later at least for me, back in my driveway, my beloved Lisa waiting for me on the front porch. I've been basking in the glow of the miles and the memories ever since, savoring the stories, the sights, the people, and the companionship with my old friend. I look forward to more rides and roads in the coming decade before us. And of course, a special shout out to Jared Capley and the good folks at Yamaha Motor USA for loaning me the outstanding Tracer 9 GT Plus, an awesome, fantastic sport tourer.